to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, May 28th, the Sunday after Ascension, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
In the cycle of our church year, we are coming to the end of the Easter season, those 50 days of celebration of Jesus' resurrection, and we are in a weird little moment in the church year. 40 days after Easter, Jesus ascended into heaven, but there's still these 10 days before Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit, 10 days of sort of waiting. Of looking up like the disciples. Where'd he go? When's he coming back? What's going to happen? I was thinking about a question that was raised at a conference I attended on Wednesday in Royal Oak. We had a speaker who was a published author, Diana Butler Bash. She's written a lot of books on contemporary American religion. And one of the questions, she didn't ask it exactly this way, but I was thinking about it and in regards to this Ascension Day, Jesus ascending to heaven. And my question was, does heaven have an address? Does heaven have an address? And if so, what is it? Her point was that we live in a post-Einstein universe, right? In the old days, people looked up and they said, well, earth is down and heaven is up, right? Earth is down here and we look up in the sky and God must be up there in the clouds. There are some hilarious paintings of the Ascension where Jesus is ascending. And in one of them, he's up in the clouds and all you can see are his feet sticking down below the clouds. But we have a different picture, don't we? Thanks to space travel. And thanks to Einstein's picture of the universe. Our picture of the universe is different. Up is no longer up, really, is it? Famously, Yuri Gagarin, the first cosmonaut, the first human being who went into space in 1961, he was famously quoted as saying, "I don't see God up here." Now, I found out later that he never actually said that. That was propaganda from Khrushchev, who was trying to make a point that was diminishing religion. But Gagarin never actually said that. What Gagarin said, I think, was much more profound. He said, "When I went up in a spaceship, I could see Earth beneath me in all of its beauty. Mankind," he said, "let us preserve that beauty." That's a very different picture, isn't it? There is no God up here, too. Let's preserve this beauty right here. Does heaven have an address? What do you think? Where would heaven be if we could find it? Can we look at it from a telescope? If we had a powerful enough telescope, is it on another planet? Or is it something entirely different? I believe that the point of the Ascension was not that Jesus went up, but that Jesus left us the stewards of this beautiful planet, of this earth, of this humanity, of this life. He said, "I am going to the Father so that I can entrust you. You are in me and I am in you, and you are now the ones to carry on the ministry, to be my witnesses." That's the word that we hear in Acts, witnesses of Christ's ministry and presence. He also said, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit so that you might experience God more deeply and profoundly. Not a God who is up there somewhere, but a God who is so very near to you." I had a friend, a priest who was a seminary professor, who used this language. He said, "I believe in a God who is not far away, but a God who is in and under and with and through all of creation. A God who is in and under and with and through all creation. A God whom we can touch and experience and know and feel in our lives. That to me is the power of Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit, that God might be accessible to us, so near that it's in us and through us. And that our job, therefore, is not to look up like those disciples, waiting for something from above, but to carry out the ministry that God has given us as his witnesses. Karl Rahner, the great Catholic theologian, was quoted as saying once that in the days to come, you will either be a mystic, that is, one who has experienced God in that way, or nothing at all. A mystic is someone who experiences that power of God in your life and in your heart. And that is what this image of God in and under and with and through us is all about. A mysticism that sees God everywhere, in relationships, in nature. I was asking the kids as they're preparing for their Youth Sunday, which is a great play that they're doing about Pentecost, by the way. If you can possibly be here at 10 o'clock next week, it's well worth seeing that play. It's very funny, but it's got a great message. I was asking them where they experience God. Where do you see God? And many of them said, in nature. Have you ever felt that way on a walk or out on a lake, that you just felt so close to God? Why is that? Because you're experiencing the God who is in and under and with and through all creation. A God who speaks to us through birdsong and through the wind and through the water and the sunlight and the rain. And a God who speaks to us not only in the scriptures but also in the words of our fellow human beings who communicate to us the love of God. There's a fascinating a study that was done. You know, in Russia and other countries, a lot of babies are just abandoned. And babies who are abandoned, who are not held and touched, you know what happens to them? They wither. Failure to thrive. They cannot survive without human touch and the physical expression of love. They need that experience of love. But I don't think it ends as infants. I think we need it throughout our lives. One of the great tragedies of becoming elderly, at least in this country, is increased separation from one another. I know so many people who are lonely and who are not ever, what they miss the most, they tell me, is hugs and being touched and being loved in that way. We need that connectedness. We need that experience, a tangible experience of love. And that is what God gives us in the Holy Spirit, a tangible expression of God's infinite and abiding love, a love that is not far off, but a love that is with us and in us and through us. We are the witnesses who communicate that love to one another. In the end, I think we do know heaven's address, don't we? We know where God lives. It's 100 Romeo Street in Rochester, Michigan. And it's you, and it's me, and it's nature, and it's relationships, and it's in every place where we experience as mystics the powerful presence and love of God. May we be empowered by the Holy Spirit to bear witness to that relationship of love and to share it with those who so desperately need it to thrive. Amen.